You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, when a potential client walks through your salon door, is their impression a good one? Details that might seem minor can have a make or break effect on client retention. But creating a great client experience doesn't have to be complicated. Just follow these three awesome tips from our operations manager at Salon Pay, Sally Turpin. We chat about all things selling, business culture, and how to handle client issues. Let's dive straight in. Sally, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's exciting.
So we'd love to get to know who you are and where you're from. So let's start with, where are you in the world and how did you get to work at Salon Pay? Like, what has been your journey till now? And what do you do at Salon Pay? Yes, tell us. Tell us your life.
Okay. It's a long one. I might drill it down. So here at Salon Pay, I'm the operations manager. So I deal a lot with all of our staff and all of our processes and how to better improve those across the board for salon clients and obviously the staff involved. How I got here is I sometimes pinch myself. I'm not entirely sure, but my career to date has mostly been in both the finance and retail space, mostly in sporting retail and finance, which are two quite different things, but just different roles and different experiences has led me into all different things that involve that. One was at Adidas and one was with the Athlete's Foot and then with two or three different finance companies. So all in sort of people management and that client experience and customer service engagement, all in all of the roles, that was the same common thread. Yeah, and how I got that to come to Salon Owners, which would never have crossed my mind, was just that wonderful thing about 6 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm. I happened to be at a dinner when someone was talking about their work and I was talking about my work and they were talking about a gap that needed to be filled at their work. And I said, that's really funny, but you actually just described exactly what I do and what I am. Wow. I mean, there was nothing more thought of it. We just giggled and that was the end. I said, you actually just described me. That was really weird. And we both, you know, prior to the dinner, we didn't really know what each other did in a work capacity. And went away, and a couple of weeks later, yeah, I was reapproached and then asked if I wanted to meet the owner of the business, Christine McKenzie, and it just kind of snowballed and fit. So here I am.
I love that. The stars aligned.
Yes, it really, really was just that kind of fleeting comment where I could have not said, wow, that was me, or they could have not described that thing that was happening at work, and yeah, it may not have happened. Yeah.
I love that story. That's awesome. And I certainly think you're doing an amazing job in your role.
Thank you.
And we've met a couple of times, but we were together recently at the Secret Salon Society Summit, and you got up to speak a little bit about, you know, the client experience and talking about that. And I thought, I've got to have you on the podcast because you've got this wealth of knowledge. And I do believe, too, we can learn so much from outside and other industries that we can bring in and apply and adapt to our own industry. So I love your outlook. And that's why I wanted to bring you on and share some of your insights and different ways of looking at things that absolutely apply to the salon world. So thanks for coming.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Yeah, I really do think that it does. It took me a little while to get that confidence to see that it does align because I had to preface everything with, I am not a hairdresser. I am not a beautician. I have no skills in this area. I barely know the difference between a shampoo and a toner. but yeah, the processes around all of those things is so relatable to other industries.
Yes, agree. Yeah. Okay, you've got some great tips to share with us around improving the client experience through all of those things that you've learned you know, previously and now brought into SalonPay. So I can't wait to hear. So I'm going to hand it over to you to share your first tip with us.
Fabulous. So the first thing that I think is really, really important in any industry when you are offering something to a client, or, you know, we hate to use the word selling, and you don't, I like to call them opportunities. We're giving people opportunities, and that doesn't matter if you're offering them a chance to prolong their hairstyle or their color, or whether you're offering them a shoe that they need to run in. It's the same thing. We're offering them opportunities. We can tell them the benefits of our opportunities and the features, but the one that the client really resonates with is those benefits. So often when people are trying to tell someone about something, particularly if we're trying to sell retail or an extra add-on, like it might be a treatment or something like that, or an extra part to the facial or any of those things, we talk about, you know, this is the product and it's made by this amazing company and it's got these ingredients in it. However, the client's like, that's great, but yeah, it's $20 extra, it's $100 extra, it's $60 extra. Instead, if we flip it and say, you know, we've got this amazing shampoo and conditioner that we've just got in, and did you know the color that you see today, you know, by the time your appointment comes back in 6 to 8 weeks, it doesn't exactly look the same anymore. The color does change over time. If you were to use these products, you're actually going to get much better longevity out of that beautiful color that we've done today. That's the benefit to the client. That's what's going to make them go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. I just thought you sold this really expensive shampoo and conditioner because it helps your bottom line. if you really take yourself away from the fact that it doesn't matter if they buy it or not, if you've told them the benefits and they understand what the benefit would be to them and they decide not to take it, that's totally fine. As long as you can confidently say that you've explained those benefits to them, because otherwise the client just wonders, and I 100% was this client, you know, the client just wonders, gosh, I don't know why this color doesn't last the whole 6 weeks. I hate that 4 weeks in it starts to look brassy, or the pink is fading, or whatever it might be. That they have no idea that there's a product out there that could potentially make them get that style to right to their next 6 weeks or close to.
And meanwhile, they're worrying about that, and they have this other belief that's quite separate, that you sell really expensive shampoo and conditioner, and they haven't actually connected that the two are connected.
Correct. Yeah. And they definitely, without knowing the benefits of the different things that you're offering, they have no idea what the purpose is. Once you've offered that opportunity and explained the benefit to them, then it's up to them. And then you will notice that if you let go of selling and let go of, the product and what you're trying to do, and just think about whether it's useful for that client and how it's useful for that client. And actually the whole process becomes a lot easier.
Well, first of all, I have to say, no one would know that you weren't from the industry. Just saying, that was beautifully said. But what I really love about that whole story, Sally, is that you're really turning the focus away from the stylist, where we tend to make it about ourselves, holding on to the emotion of whether or not she'll say yes or no. And we actually are turning the focus onto the client solely. We're letting go of any attachment to whether or not they want it, and making benefits are all about the client, making it all about her and what she gets out of it and nothing about us. And so I really love that.
Yeah, and it works from above. So if your staff know all the benefits of all the products that you're stocking, then they're going to be able to relay that down to the client. So being sure, if you do get something new in, that you take the time with your staff to really, whether it's dot points or however your staff work or what fun things you like to do, you know, a quiz about who can find the most benefits to this product. There's a million ways you can do it, but making sure that, you know, all the products that you stock, all the stylists know the benefits.
Okay, yeah, I think that's good. And I think product companies sometimes have a little bit of responsibility around that, because they come in and they do staff training and they teach us all the features.
It has
this ingredients and it smells all the things. But I think that can derail us sometimes, because we get all focused on how much lavender is inside and all of the things, and we forget actually it's about the client and what
benefit
brings to her. And yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. The color, depending on, I actually forgot that the color companies come in and do that. Because I've never seen it.
No, that's right.
But, yeah, Definitely. So even if your colour companies or your product companies are coming in, then, yeah, saying to them, I get that. Now just tell me the top four benefits.
Yes.
Like what's the top four benefits of this one? And or the other great thing is describe the client this is for, because every product isn't for every client. So being able to have your blonde, young, gorgeous client in the chair and know in the back of your mind, these are the three products that are going to best help her. That's going to be quite different to the three products that are going to best help my mum, who's all grey, brushes her hair and, you know, doesn't straighten it or do anything else. You know, it's going to be two completely different sorts of products.
For sure. I like that you put the onus back on the owner to get that out of the product company and say, great, that's nice. Please now tell us the top four benefits and who this would match the best. Okay, that's a good tip. What about we were talking about your next tip, when some issues arise. Will you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, inevitable in any business, big, small, you know, I've worked in massive corporate industries and teeny tiny, like 3 or 4 person businesses. There's always going to be issues or problems that arise with a client or, with someone that you're working with. And I think one thing that we need to get our customer service hat on and really think, we often spend a lot of time ruminating in how something has happened. And that is really, I think that's important from a management or owner perspective, but from a staff and the client perspective, it actually doesn't matter how something happened or why it happened or when it happened. None of those things are actually really important to getting to the crux of the matter is, and that is solving the problem. If you as an owner or manager or that higher level worry about those finite details later, because you obviously don't want it to happen again, you do need to know what those details are, but they are for much later. In the moment with your staff and the client or whoever is involved, we want to know just what the issue or problem is and what can we do to fix it. Actually, nothing else matters. And when you pair it back like that, you're able to get resolutions in a much quicker time frame, which makes everyone happy. You're able to solve it, shut it down, hopefully fix it, let them move on, and then you can go back and look at all of those deeper things. Why did this happen? How did this happen? How can we stop it happening again? But those three things are for later. Often we get, but who said what? And did you really have a consultation or did you mix the colour properly or did you leave it on for 35 minutes? I don't know any of this stuff. So please,
you're so on point. It's hilarious.
None of that. I know. I just try to think about it. I'm also much better with hair than I am with beauty. I apologize to all the lovely beauty people out there, but all of those things can wait till later. They're actually, if the client's standing there furious or unhappy or crying or whatever it might be about what has occurred, because at the end of the day, we're dealing with people's, you know, faces, bodies, what they present to the world every single day in so many more respects. It's so much more important than anything you can find or do in the retail space. You just need to work out how you're going to solve that problem as timely and as effectively as possible and try not to get bogged down in any of the other things until later. I do think they need addressing, but it is in quiet, closed time away from the client.
Yes, well said. I couldn't have said that any better myself. I have that same approach, not only in customer service, but even in my family with my children, same applies.
Yes.
It's called the witch hunt, right? Because otherwise it can become a bit of a witch hunt right up front, which changes the whole tone of the whole situation. Whereas if you go into the solution mode, especially with clients, get that done first. Yeah, I think that's amazing advice.
Yeah. And even here in the office, we do the same thing. You know, if we start to hear about this email or this conversation and I'm like, nope, we're not going to worry about any of that. What are we trying to achieve? What is the outcome that we're trying to get to? That's most important.
Yeah. Okay. Beautifully said. All right. What is your tip number three?
This is a little bit of an interesting one. It's about ambiguity and how it breeds uncertainty. Now, on its own, that sounds really profound and, you know, it doesn't have a lot of substance. But one thing I find in any group, if you get a group of people that need to do things together, now that could be a workplace, it could be a sporting group, it could be anything really, a club, a staff room, anything. If you get a group of people and they need to do things together, the biggest way to kill that culture is when people are uncertain or there's ambiguity. They don't 100% know either what they're supposed to be doing or what the goal is, or, you know, whether we're all on the same page. So I really wanted that to be my third one, because culture is this buzzword, in particularly in corporate, but everywhere at the moment. It's all about culture, and everyone wants a great culture in their workplace, be that a salon or a office or wherever, but not everyone knows how to achieve a great culture. You know, it's a really great buzzword, and we all want to be in a lovely culture, but how do you create that? And one of the things I've learned over all of the different groups I've worked in is that the number one way to ensure that you won't have a good culture is to have uncertainty in the group. So you know, ways to overcome that is, that doesn't mean that as a manager or an owner, you tell your staff everything. That's definitely not what I'm saying. But you need to be mindful of what you are saying and doing around your group, wherever that group may be. Because when people start to feel uncertain, that's when they start to behave in a not positive manner. They start to fill in the blanks. Humans automatically, it's in our innate way of thinking, to, if we're not sure, we fill it in ourselves. We make it up. And it may or may not be aligned with what you're thinking as the manager or owner. It even works down if you have a group of clients in your salon and staff are whispering or all ducking out the back at the same time and talking about something and then all running back, you know, with brazen looks on their faces, you know, then your clients start to feel uncertain and they, you know, wonder what's going on out the back there. Now, it might just be that one of them had a funny thing on their phone and thought it was appropriate to share it with everyone outside of the clients. But again, the clients are thinking, have they mixed my color wrong? Is there a leaking pipe? You know, I don't know what they're thinking, but they're making it up as they go along. And that again is a real culture killer, but creates that bad vibes or the ambiguity around the situation. So it's just, I just wanted everyone to have to pause on that a moment and just have a think about how you can make things more certain. One thing is by having, you know, from a management or owner perspective, having really set guidelines around your processes or your expectations. You know, I heard at Summit, particularly salon owners saying, you know, well, staff don't do this or they don't do that. But I just want to be sure before we say that, is it really, really clear when someone starts working with you, are you really clear that if they're not coming in, they have to call? Oh, I don't know why my staff just keep texting me all the time. I really wish they'd call. Was that outlined at the start? Did you, you know, have you outlined everything really clear for your staff and then the expectations around that? So if everything is clear and defined, then you're much less likely to get that uncertainty.
And I want to add something to clarifying expectations and having them written down, is that writing them down and reading them out to somebody once is not enough, and then putting it away in the drawer and never bringing it out again.
No.
For something to stay living and breathing and to define a culture, it needs to be a living, breathing document that is referred to and referred back to and spoken about, and, you know, becomes one of a team member almost. Would that be fair?
Yeah, most definitely. Obviously, I know space is different in every setup, that, you know, there's home salons, there's big salons, there's little salons, but having that space also that everyone's aware of to go to find that information. So it might be on the wall. So, putting signs up and holding extra meetings, like hopefully everyone is having staff meetings, but having that touch point and even one-on-ones as well to ensure that there's none of that uncertainty underlying, hopefully giving staff an opportunity to speak up if they do feel uncertain about anything. What I was thinking about is that culture is great to get, but it's hard to keep as well. So if you feel the vibe changing within your salon or your office or whatever it may be, take a moment. Don't ignore it. See, think back, try and reflect on yourself. Is there anything that's happened that's been a bit ambiguous or uncertain or a rumor or anything like that that you could potentially address and bring them all back? Yeah, it's just something. I think culture is this really big buzzword and it's wonderful. However, we need to know how to get it there and how to fix it or how to improve it. And I think uncertainty is one of the biggest things that can really do some damage. If people don't know what it sort of flows into my mantra, but you know, people need to know what it is they've got to do to achieve or what success looks like, even in the most tiny form. You know, is it just that smiling client? Is it someone, you know, getting excited when they walk out with their hair? Is it selling $300, $400 worth of retail? What does success look like? Because ultimately, everyone does want to feel like those hours that they're spending at work. We spend more hours there, most of us, than what we do with our loved ones. So we want to feel like what we're doing there is achieving something.
Mm, I really love that. And yeah. And I think sometimes we forget that the most obvious things too need to be pointed out and made clear. Like we forget because we kind of convince ourselves that it should be obvious.
Yes.
Like, but I think we forget that even the most obvious things are not obvious for everybody, and everybody comes from their own background or their own personal family culture, and even things as simple as whether or not you say please and thank you.
Yes.
Not everybody grew up to learn to say please and thank you, strangely enough.
No. Another big one with phone calls, and this happens in a salon when you put someone on hold, something as simple as saying, when you come back, you know, the first thing I teach all of our staff on the phones here is when they come back after a call, you don't say, are you there? Are you there?
Yeah.
Something as simple as saying, thank you for holding. That gives them the same amount of time to come back to the call.
Yes.
But those things, you know, that might, if staff didn't do it, that might irritate you. But if I've never told them, then how would they possibly know that that is a better response? Yeah, there's lots of different little things like that. So just trying to make sure that your expectations are really well communicated so there isn't any uncertainty, or if there's a change occurring in the business, that you can communicate what needs to be communicated at the right times before that uncertainty breeds.
Yeah. All right. Beautifully said. So yes, let's hear your mantra. What is it that keeps you going and keeps you sane, Sally?
It's funny. I think it changes. I found this a little bit tricky. I have lots of little sayings. I know we touched on it a little bit at Summit. I do have lots of little sayings and I go through bursts of using each of them. So the one that's really stuck at the moment, which can sound a little bit harsh, so please let me explain, is try harder. It is just so simple and so little, and it can be used in almost every circumstance. So, you know, definitely, you know, I use it even when I'm trying to achieve something with someone. You know, have they tried as hard as they can? Because often, possibly not. You know, can we try harder as a business? Can we, you know, even if you've got the most profitable business and everything's, I still believe there is that room for growth. I will celebrate the wins 100%. I'm sure you've seen a little bit on social media, like we definitely celebrate our wins, but that's not to say that the very next day when we get in, we're going to try harder. Mm. And I definitely use with my staff, you know, try harder. Like when they say, I'm doing this, this, and this, and I might say, well, try harder. Is that really the best you can do? And sometimes it is. Sometimes they're like, yep, I've done all these checks and balances. That really is as good as I can go. And often they'll go, well, I could do this. Yes, then maybe that's what you should be doing.
I love that. I think that's really great.
And then sometimes we say it in frustration too. Like you're talking to a phone, you know, a Telstra or an Optus or something. Try harder.
Yes, they could take. They definitely could take your.
That's my little mantra at the moment.
All right, I love it. What about a book or a resource or somebody that you follow that has been instrumental in your life?
Yes. This is an interesting one. I did find this a little bit different because, again, I do float between different things at different points. But the one that really resonates with me from a life perspective, this is definitely not necessarily for work, but there's a lovely lady called Christina Kuzmic. It's two K's, so Christina and then K Kuzmic. She is just a blogger. She's just a normal everyday human trying to do the best that she can. And it's just very much about letting go and choosing kindness. So she very much focuses on one of her wonderful things recently was about honesty. So we've come to a society where we say, oh, I'm just being honest. You know, so you could say, oh, I don't really like her dress. And then they say, but it's okay because I'm just being honest. And she talks about how being honest is not an excuse for being a jerk.
I love it.
Yeah. So, and just there's little things constantly where I just think, yes, but there is actually a better, you can choose kindness and choose to do things differently. And she definitely forgives herself really, really well, which is something that I think we can all do better. You know, we all have times where we sit in the cupboard and have a few tears or drink an extra glass of wine because the day's been tricky, and that we should never beat ourselves up about that. That forgiveness is really, really important, and your sanity and happiness is important.
Absolutely. And that, yeah. I do believe that being kind to yourself is something that you can learn. It certainly has been part of my journey.
Yes, most definitely you can.
Yourself.
Yes. And forgive yourself. Yeah.
All right. You've been amazing. You've had some great things to share with us. I really appreciate it. Now, please share with us where we can find you and Sell on Pay. And for those of you that don't know what Sell on Pay is, Sally, do you want to just give us a quick 1, 2, 3 of what is Sell on Pay and, hey, what are the benefits of Sell on Pay?
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Sell on Pay is a payment processing portal for lots of P's. We are able to assist salons in processing their payments, be that through one-off payments, membership payments, buy now, pay later, powered by our wonderful friends at Afterpay, and also help with those things like landing pages so that clients can find you, book with you, do all of those things. We help with a little bit with marketing as well, just to try to market those different payment options for your clients. But it's all about giving options and making it super duper easy for you to charge your clients in a multiple of different ways, because the way that we take payments for things has categorically changed. And how clients want to pay for things has definitely changed. We are moving away from being in debt on our credit cards and finding different ways to pay for things in small, easy increments. So Sell on Pay just makes that super duper easy and allows salon owners of all sizes to be able to have the option, that same opportunity as the giant, huge salons.
Yeah, I really love that. And I have seen it because we work with salons through coaching, and we do a done for you service with marketing for Salon for our Salon Bot. I have really seen it open up the doors to increasing sales for the salons that are using all or any of your payment options, because there's kind of something that fits for new clients, there's something that fits for existing clients with memberships. So it really has taken the pain away and made it super easy for clients to work with salons. So good for you guys.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Those right, benefits are huge.
Sorry.
The benefits to the clients, those benefits to the clients is really what we see, and the clients contacting us has been the really exciting part of it. Being able to get more for their money and come in more regularly and look beautiful more often and for longer is exciting.
Absolutely. So please share with us your dub. Where can we find you guys? And we'll put the links to all of those things, and the Christina with the two Ks, we'll put those links on this, these episode notes as well. So please tell us, what's your dub?
Yeah, Yeah, so obviously www.salonpay.com.au. I also flit in and out of the Secret Salon Owners Society group, so you can always ask questions and find me in there helping out. That's on Facebook. And obviously, yeah, just Sally Turp and me. I'm also on social media, so yeah, yep.
Thank you so much for sharing your wealth of knowledge. It's been awesome having you on the podcast. Thanks, Sally.
Thank you, Larissa. Have a great day.
So that's a wrap from us. Thank you so much for listening. It was great to be reminded of needing to voice your expectations to staff. I personally have just been through this again, having to relearn how to manage a growing team. Culture is great to have, but it's also hard to keep. So revisiting what you're trying to achieve with your staff is one of the key attributes to your ongoing success. Now, if you're wanting to attract a rockstar team, we have a guide just for you, Attracting a Rockstar Team. The links are in the episode of this, the page of this episode, or head to www.salonownerscollective.com. Now, what are you going to put into place in your salon after listening to this episode with Sally? And I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.